Mark Spears. Hey, Mark.
What's up, fellas?
You know, I'm just hanging, just hanging solo today. My guy Sean's back east in Boston, getting ready for his UFC fight on Sunday night. So it's just me flying solo.
You got a taste of them Golden State Warriors last night, huh?
Oh my gosh, it was a close and ugly game last night till the third quarter, and then Steph became Steph, and Klay Thompson became Klay Thompson. They put up 44 in the third last night.
You know what? I had an assistant coach recently who just simply said they're just too explosive, and I think Jazz fans got an opportunity to see that last night. They're so fun to watch. They just score in so many different ways, and the one thing that's great about them that a lot of people don't realize, I mean, they lead the NBA in assists. And their passing is beautiful. They just, you know, they find the open man, and they just do a really, really great job of not only getting easy, wide-open shots, but just the camaraderie, the way they play together. It's something that's potentially special, and I actually picked them to win a championship before the season. A lot of people looked at me crazy, but if they got a healthy Bogut with the depth that they have, as one another assistant coach said, you got two max players coming off the bench in Lee and Iguodala, and that's not even including Bogut, who was on the bench for a minute. I mean, they just got too much talent 1 through 15 there.
Isn't that really the key, a healthy Bogut, as far as them being a championship team versus being just a team that could get to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, your former youth there, man, they, I think, are going to live and die with him. If he's healthy, they could win the whole thing. He is that important on the defensive end, rebounding, and he's a great passer. I mean, I don't have to sell you guys on Bogut.
Right.
You guys know what he could do, but it has to be a healthy Bogut. And, you know, they were a game away from knocking off the Clippers without him. What could they have potentially do with him? Who knows? But with him, they're extremely hard to beat. He gives them some size. He's like one of the few guys where, even as much as DeMarcus Cousins is doing this year, that DeMarcus Cousins falters against him. He's a very, very talented, underrated, well-rounded, physical, nasty big that, to me, if they could keep him healthy, he could help them raise a trophy. But that's the big thing with them. It's keeping them healthy, and they're in a position now because of the talent that they have where they could pay Bogut, you know, 20 minutes. They don't have to play him 35 minutes to win games. And if they're blowing teams out, they could rest them even more. And these guys have bought in. They're not worrying about their stats. They're enjoying the winning. They're fine with their roles. And they're a very, very tough team to play against right now.
And it could make playoff travel really easy for you since they play 7 minutes from your apartment in your condo.
Yeah, maybe even quicker if there's no traffic.
Surface streets for Mark Spears. He literally lives in the Oakland area.
Killing my Marriott points, though, man. Can you tell Mr. Marriott out in Utah to hook me up if they go far? Because that's going to kill my night.
I'll see what I can do to keep that platinum status for you. Let me ask you. Platinum elite status. I'm only gold elite status, but that's okay. Let me ask you. Everybody says, oh, Steve Kerr. They were good with Mark. I mean, they were a good team. What is it exactly that Steve Kerr has done with this team? I mean, what from a technical or philosophical standpoint is different this year, because they were fun to watch the last couple of years.
Yeah.
The difference is they're winning and they've got the best percentage record in the NBA. So what has Kerr done since taking that team over?
Well, they've improved dramatically defensively. They're sharing the ball more. Obviously, Bogut being healthy helps. They're deeper, like getting guys like Sean Livingston and Holiday and Barbosa, you know, re-signing Spates. Those are all great moves. And I think Steph was already there as far as being an elite player, but he's obviously taking it to another level. But I think this past summer, Klay Thompson playing in USA basketball and doing very well for him took his confidence to the next level. And, you know, he's practicing against Kyrie and James Harden and those kind of guys every day, showed him that he is an elite player in this league. And then I think another smart move that they made was moving Harrison Barnes into the starting lineup. Harrison was great in the playoffs for him last year. I think taking him off the bench kind of killed his confidence. They had great chemistry with him as a starter. But now with him starting, they not only are playing well, but Iguodala's giving them some nice punch off the bench. And that's the thing. When you go to their bench has started. I mean, their bench is better than some team starters. You know, I mean, you got Iguodala on the bench, David Lee, Spates now.
Yeah.
Barbosa, Livingston. I mean, come on, man. They just got Draymond Green. Is that awesome year? They got too much. And I think that is kind of also what's pushing them to the next level as well. Plus, you know, with all due respect to Mark, there was just so much, and one of the players told me there was just so much, you know, little drama that was going on every day. And one player was like, you know, what's going to happen today? What happened today? You know, and so all there's just a concentration on basketball. There's a great camaraderie, and, you know, these guys are all in, all on the same page, folks.
Mark Spears, our guest. As long as we're still, let's stay in Northern California for just a minute. I want to get back around to the Jazz because we're kind of doing, they're almost at the midway point. It's weird. The midway point of the season's like two games away. But you mentioned Boogie Cousins, and I don't know how, if you're not watching the NBA closely, I think people still have this guy, the malcontent young kid out of Kentucky in mind. If he was playing on a good team, he's got MVP. Well, he's got MVP numbers, but he's on a terrible team, so he won't get consideration. But he is playing out. He was pretty good last year. He's out of his mind this year. Is it finally clicking all the way around? Is he finally getting it, Boogie Cousins?
He is. I mean, you see flashes of stuff here and there that's kind of disappointing. But I think for the most part, yeah, he's kind of taken, realized, and leave the garbage alone and just play basketball. And there's nobody in the NBA center-wise as talented as him. He's just too skilled. And I just think that if he just concentrates on hoop, leaves the little things alone, like techs and just drama, then he could be an all-star. But it's those things. Like, anytime anything little happens, it just really pushes back his progress. So, you know, it's going to be really, really key for him to just concentrate on hooping, being the star that he is. And if he can do that, then he will certainly be one of the elite, or he'll be, he already is one of the elite players in this league. But if he could just stay away from the garbage, he will be that and respected that way.
His numbers, I mean, and you know him, Mark, but for our listeners, 24 points, 12 and a half rebounds, almost two blocks a steal, and 3.5 assists a game. He's shooting 49% from the floor. He's getting to the line almost nine times a game and hitting 80% of his free throws. Those are unbelievable numbers.
And if he was on a better team, you'd be knowing about it. I mean, Anthony Davis has wonderful numbers. His team's a little better, so people are paying attention. But, yeah, a lot of what Cousins is doing is kind of going by the wayside. And, you know, in a sense, I think it's because of that rep of being kind of a malcontent, bitter guy. And so he's not one that's done a lot of interviews. And until the Kings start winning games, even if he was happy, happy, joy, joy, it might go by the wayside. And so it's almost like, you know what, and you'll appreciate this. You know, I got to know Daryl Griffiths really well. And most of Daryl Griffiths' successful years in Utah, and please correct me if I'm wrong, took place when, you know, before Stockton and Malone were rolling, before there was a lot of success. So he never was an NBA All-Star. And I remember when I worked in Louisville, Kentucky, we talked about it. And he said, you know, I think part of it was the market, but part of it was just, you know, the team wasn't successful. And if the team was more successful, then he would have been viewed as one of the marquee players. He would have been an all-star, but I think outside of Utah, a lot of what Dr. Dunkelstein did went unnoticed in a lot of ways, like the case with Cousins right now.
All right, speaking of the Jazz, let's get there for a minute. 39 games, 13-26. I said before the year, you said before the year, wins and losses weren't going to be super important this year. You said they'd be one of the more entertaining teams to watch. I think at times they have been. I think the fans, like, they're getting up and down the floor a little bit more this year. But, you know, I've been asking people right now, Mark, to say, you know, halfway through the first year of Quinn Snyder, how do they view the production on the floor? I'll ask you. Halfway through Snyder's first year, obviously we'll take wins and losses off the table. Are you seeing some good things from the Utah Jazz? What do you make of them?
It depends. They're like the box of chocolates, man. You just don't know what you're going to get, you know. When they beat Miami and Orlando, I was like, okay. And then it's just so up and down. They're really hard to tell. But, that's what happens with a young team. So I'm not totally surprised by that. Plus, you got a coach with a learning the system. It's going to take a minute. So I know I've kind of said before, maybe it gets to the point now where you got to start looking at maybe trading some of your young pieces for some veteran guys. But then now, maybe if you look at the West, is it really worth it to do that if you're not going to be in the playoff mix? And such will not be the case for the Jazz. I think that might be something to consider more in the offseason. Okay, and as I told you before, you know, Kiki Vandeweghe, when I was covering the Nuggets, he used to say, at the end of the season, you got to ask yourself, okay, can this team really take a jump forward as constructed, or do you need to move somebody to make it better? And right now, I just think the team is too young. Obviously, Burke's injury was horrible. Your young fella, your Aussie kid's going to get better. So you do want to leave it alone, but I do think next year there needs to be a step taken. And perhaps maybe there needs to be, like, if you look at Washington, like getting a Paul Pierce on your team, where somebody that's been there and done that and can help you through the dog days and teach you how to win and teach you how to be a professional, could be a good addition to a team. It'll certainly be an interesting offseason. There's not a lot of great free agents. But there maybe is a – I remember when I was covering the Nuggets, one of Kiki's regrets was not getting a veteran guy to be in there when Melo first got there. He thought about bringing in LaPhonso Ellis, and it just didn't work out. But, you know, I'd like to see a couple – I don't know, like Elton Brand, Anton Jameson, you know, those kind of guys. If Rashard Lewis wants to try to get his career back together once he comes back from this knee, like just some older guys in the locker room that could help these guys grow on and off the court a little more.
I want to ask you about two guys. Let's start with the good first, Rudy Gobert. This guy was a find for the Utah Jazz, and his learning curve, he is making up ground very, very quickly. What's the buzz around the league on Gobert?
I like him, man. I mean, I liked him since his summer with France. And so the question remains this. Does he make Cantor or Favors expendable? Do you want to start him? What could you know, so because of that, I think you listen more if somebody is interested in Favors or is interested in Cantor, because now you got a guy like that you could start and get big minutes to, and is young and it's going to grow. And but for what piece, you know? I think the scary thing for your general manager is, you know, if you trade one of these, if you leave the team alone and let it grow together, it could end up being something special, like you're starting to see in Golden State, but it's also going to get to a point where you can't pay everybody. you know,
right.
You got all these young guys making big money and you try to figure it out. But then there's the other fear that, okay, if I move Favors or Cantor because Gobert's playing so well, that they're going to go somewhere else and go nuts. So it's a good and bad problem to have to try to figure this out. But I think you'd rather have the problem because you got some talent that you could keep or got some young talent that you could move for some veteran, but you got assets that can give you options and allow the Jazz to be creative, you know, to go and figure out what they want to do with the team.
Yeah, and I think right now that's what Lindsay and Quinn Snyder are trying to figure out. Not so much they like Favors, and they got him at a relatively good contract, $12 million a year. Got the best PER on the team. He's a 16-9 guy right now, but in four of his last five games, he's been 20-10. So I think they like Favors. I think they're trying to figure out what to do with Cantor, because as good as he is on offense, he is that bad on defense right now, Mark. But he's 22. And this coaching staff's only had him for 35 games this year, and he's a 14-8 guy right now. So I think they're trying to figure out, they don't want, just like you just said, they don't want to move him and then have him blossom at 23 years old with somebody else in the league. But they've got a decision coming up this offseason. They've got Gobert for a couple of more years. They're fine. But they've got a decision to make on Cantor right now.
And I know, and I don't have the salaries in front of me, but I'm pretty certain Gobert is making a lot less than Favors and Cantor is.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you could also, you know, save some money in the process to help you sign some of your other guys by moving Cantor, moving Gobert up, and going maybe with some veteran guy or somewhere to save some money or get some picks or something. It's like I said, you can do, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because but I think it's more of a good problem to have, because if you put these guys together and let them grow, like the one thing that Golden State has done that I think was good, and maybe it's a model for the Jazz, is, you know, they had Curry, they had Draymond Green, they had Barnes, they had Clay, and then what they did is you get Lee, and you take a chance on a guy like you know, Bogut, and take a chance and throw it together, and next thing you know, you're in the playoffs. And unfortunately, you're in the Western Conference, which is extremely difficult. You could have a great team and still not make it. Phoenix proved that. But if they could somehow, I think somewhere around here, there has to be some kind of gamble, some kind of veteran guy, like, i.e., the Warriors getting Bogut, that you got to take a chance on, that could end up maybe having a great end to his career in Utah and push that team to the next level.
Two more things. NBA stuff with Mark Spears, and we'll cut him loose from Yahoo Sports. Number one, is David Blatt a dead man walking right now? Is it just a matter of time in Cleveland?
Well, you know, he got a great backing from the GM last week saying that he was fine, but man, I was just around them for a couple of days. It certainly seems like the vultures are flying around ready, you know. I don't think it's fair to judge him. This team, if you exclude Varejao, the Cavs only have two returners from last season. So everybody else is new, and you just got three new players. Like, what they have to sell is it takes time to get on the same page. I covered that Celtics team when they won the championship. Ray Allen said it took them to March to get on the same page. So what is it going to take a team with all but two new players? I mean, and those two returners are basically new players too, because it's a new coach and a bunch of different new teammates. So I think they need to worry about continually getting better. They looked a little better last night. But I know there is one thing I think Blatt needs to do, which will help his cause, man. I understand he's pushing Kevin Love to be a better defender, but Kevin Love is too good to be sitting in the fourth quarter. You got to figure that out. And keep in mind that they're still paying Mike Brown. I don't know if they're paying Byron Scott still, but how many guys are they going to pay? You know, I mean, what, the Black got a 4 or 5 year deal? You're going to pay? So I would guess that as bad as things have gotten, from a financial standpoint, it just doesn't seem like a smart move. But, you know, LeBron is definitely carrying some weight.
Last thing, why did is Prokhorov just bored now and he doesn't want to worry about basketball anymore as he moved on to something else?
Well, maybe it's a sign that he needs some money, which I doubt. But I think the Clippers when they got bought for what they got bought for, I'm sure he's like, oh, I could probably double, triple what I paid for this team. And maybe he got this feel for the NBA. He doesn't live in the U.S. It's hard to enjoy a toy that you're never around.
Right.
So I could see him just making, you know, he's a businessman, making some money on his investment, selling it, tripling his money, and moving on. He did the NBA thing, and I think he was one of those owners that just simply thought, well, I'll just pay for this, I'll just pay for that, and we'll be great. But it doesn't work that way. There's a salary cap that you got to draft the right way. It's more cerebral. It's not like one of those Russian professional basketball teams that whoever has the most money is like the Yankees. They could just win. They could just pay for wins. So maybe it was a little bit more difficult than he thought it was and not as fun as he thought it was, and he's not near it. So he knows he's going to get paid, get his money, and move on. This ain't a Moscow Dynamo. This is the Brooklyn Nets, you know.
Hey, good catching up with you, man. I'm heading to Arizona tomorrow, see some NBA guys.
Are you bragging?
Yeah, I am bragging.
Because you're going there for the Super Bowl too, huh?
No, I won't be down there for the Super Bowl. I'm too busy with basketball. Hey, Utah's good. Darrell Wright's brother's going to be playing in the league next year.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I'm thinking, don't the Jazz play there the Friday before?
I think they do, yeah.
So I'm thinking you're going down for that. Okay. Keep me posted on Wright, man. Let me know how he keeps progressing.
I'll see you when we get to the Bay Area.
All right, bro.
All right, take care.